Welcome to ITE Module 8, Part 3 for Semester 2. We are going to talk about more networking, and we're going to scramble your brains. My goal for this lecture is not to sound like a kindergarten teacher. Before we start, does anyone have any questions?
I kind of do, but like from last week...
That's okay.
I missed the chunk and I was just listening to it.
Feel free.
Where does the MAC address come from?
All right. Our MAC address is something that is burnt into the card when it's made. So when it comes out of the factory, they have to burn this physical address into the card. Half of that is a vendor ID or a manufacturer ID. So all Linksys might have the first half the same, and the other half identifies what it is. Identifies the actual card. That is not something you need to know, but it might help give it some context.
Yeah, it does, actually. It's okay.
It's like your fingerprint, except you can change your card's MAC address if you really try. And on some wireless cards, it's quite easy to do, but you probably shouldn't do that.
Some
Any
things
other
might
question?
Have to use MAC address to register things, so it's probably not a great idea. I'm pretty sure that the BrailleSense GPS software uses the MAC address of one of its network interfaces. I think.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere.
I think it might as well. I think it uses a MAP key. But any other questions? And every device has to have one. Your internet-capable iPod has a MAC address. Your cell phone, if it gets on the internet, has a MAC address. Or a couple MAC addresses if it does Bluetooth and wireless. If your GPS pulls traffic information over the internet, it has a MAC address. So, if
I hadn't even thought
if
about
it
that.
Has a network,
but yeah, it would have to. Wow.
It would have to. Anything network capable, every single network interface in the whole wide world has a MAC address. And Carrie's not there here to dispute me and say, "Well, actually," because I'm sure there's some caveat to that somewhere. But for our purposes, that's the case. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I guess we'll go on. We're going to talk about layered models for describing the internet. Remember how I told you about protocols being layered? We're going to explore two models used to layer Ethernet protocols. These models are used to explain data traveling through the internet and help to standardize network hardware and software. So it basically helps us visualize how the internet works. The first model is the TCP/IP model, which has four layers. A message starts at the top layer called the application layer. This layer provides the programs you use with the services they need to access the internet. These protocols include HTTP, POP3, IMAP, SMTP, to name a few. Next, the message is going to travel down to the transport layer. In the transport layer, your data is broken into packets. The protocols in the transport layer ensure that your data gets from one end to the other. One transport layer protocol is called TCP. TCP stands for Transmission Control Protocol. This is the primary internet protocol for the reliable delivery of data. TCP includes facilities for end-to-end connection establishment, error detection and recovery, and metering rate of data flow into the network. Many standard applications such as email, web browsers, file transfer, and Telnet use TCP. Another transport protocol is called UDP. UDP stands for User Data Protocol. This offers a connectionless service for delivery of data. UDP uses lower overhead than TCP.
Or am I losing my brain?
It is User Datagram Protocol. UDP uses lower overhead than TCP and does not provide reliability. Network management applications, network file systems, and simple file transport use UDP, as well as things like streaming videos and Skype calls. Have you ever had, this is what we were talking about last week with Lynn, where her bits of her messages were being lost. Ventrilo uses UDP to send my voice or whoever's voice to you guys. So it's going to try to deliver as many packets as it can, but it's not going to try and go recover packets and deliver lost packets, because it's just going to try to deliver it as best it could. If it tried to recover those packets, eventually my voice would slow down until you couldn't hear me and couldn't receive my transmissions.
Because Skype with someone and it's really slow, and then all of a sudden it feeds up like that, and then it goes back to normal again. That's what Skype's doing. It's trying to skip past the stuff it knows is gone to give you the rest of it.
No. Okay. Understand that it's not... You're going to use TCP and UDP protocols in internet applications. So it's not that your provider can choose one. Ventrilo is a UDP application.
I think it does use so TCP as well a little.
It may, I don't know. It's mainly the voice control portion of it, I believe, is UDP.
Yeah, I think TCP is synchronizing or some crap.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's going to do its best to deliver stuff to you, but it's not always going to do it. TCP is for your emails, for files that you're going to download, for internet websites. Your YouTube video, that's going to be UDP. So, your Verizon thing, I would call Verizon, because there is some very strange issue going on, and they may need to help you troubleshoot it.
So, have you talked about the acknowledgements and stuff? You kind of talked about that a little bit.
Not yet. We're not there yet. We're just going through the TCP/IP layer.
The difference between... Is the difference between TCP and UDP coming up? Or are we going to hit that now?
We just talked about that. TCP is going to deliver, or try and deliver every packet. And it's going to get an acknowledgement that it delivered every packet. And if it doesn't get that acknowledgement, that packet is going to be delivered again.
So one of the things that... that Kerry used several years ago is he said, if you have a kid and you're telling your kid, okay, please don't run out into the street because there's cars out there. And your kid says, okay, mommy, I understand. And you're like, okay, all right, let's go. Okay, it's good. That's TCP because your kid is acknowledging you. But if your kid, if you tell them over and over again and they keep doing it and they don't listen to you, and no matter how many times you tell them to quit running out into the street, they don't run it. They keep doing it. That's UDP. They're getting the message, but they ain't acknowledging it. They're probably not listening to you. That's the difference between those two that I always remember, thanks to Carrie's discovery lecture from about 2009.
Carrie was, like, crazy depressed that day.
It was funny.
Oh, that poor guy. Protocols in the network layer actually provide the connection between hosts. One protocol used at the internet layer is called IP. IP, or internet protocol, provides source and destination addressing, much like the address and return address on a postal envelope. In conjunction with routing protocols, IP provides packet forwarding information from one network to another. ICMP also works at this layer. ARP, Addressing Resolution Protocol, is used to obtain the MAC address of a node on the network when its IP address is known. End stations, as well as routers, use ARP to discover MAC addresses. The network access layer is the lowest layer of the TCP/IP model. This layer deals with physical access to media, such as cabling and wireless. That is the TCP/IP layer. So, You have application, transport. I'm just looking at this fourth one because I think there's an issue with what I wrote. Or third one because I think there's an issue with what I actually wrote down. Network. Okay. So you've got application, transport, network, and the fourth one is... Hello, Melissa.
No, that's not the fourth layer of the...
No, it
of
is
the
not
TCP.
The fourth one.
I'm all...
Network access. No, that is not right. I don't... Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm going to actually just take 2 seconds, pull up my notes, and see, because I don't think what I wrote down is right. So, hold on. I want to make sure that I tell you the right thing. All the stuff I told you is right, but I just don't think that third... I have the proper name for... I think it is internet. Any questions on what the layers actually do while I'm looking this up? It is internet.
Oh, okay.
All right, cool. The other more commonly
so
used model...
application, transport, internet,
application,
network
transport,
access?
Internet, network access. Yep.
There's no cute way to remember that.
That is correct. Yeah, I can't think of... we've got some great ones.
Yeah,
on,
I was going to say, I'm just pulling... I'm just getting that ready to pull.
Yeah, you just pull that up and put the URL
yeah,
in
I'll
for
do
some...
That.
If you want to know truly foul ways to remember the OSI reference model, we'll give you a link, because there are just some awful things
I'm going to read out
here,
some of the... I'm going to read out some of the tamer
read
ones
out some
for
of
the recording,
tamer
but...
ones. Yeah. Okay, so we've got... application, transport, internet, and network access, because I can't write notes. All right, cool. We're going to talk about the kind of more important and more common one, and the one that makes the most sense next. This is the OSI reference model. This model has 7 layers. Does anyone want to show off and tell me from the bottom up what these layers are? I have 2 people I'm thinking of. Okay. That's all right. We'll go on. We're going to go on. A system that implements protocol behaviors consisting of a series of layers is known as a protocol stack. Protocol stacks can be implemented either in hardware, software, or a combination of both. Typically, lower layers deal with hardware, and the higher levels take care of software. When you send data, it travels down through the layers of the OSI reference model. Each layer prepares your data to be sent. Think of it as an assembly line, or a subway restaurant. You go to Subway, and the first thing they're going to ask you is what kind of bread you want. Then they're going to ask you what kind of sandwich meat you want to put in it. They're going to ask you if you want cheese and what kind of cheese. It's going to go in the toaster. They're going to ask you what kind of salads and finally dressing. This is kind of like the OSI reference model. It's going to go along until it's all ready for you to eat or send an email to your friend, either way, and it's going to make a full packet or sandwich that is going to be enjoyed by all. This is called encapsulation. We're going to go through the encapsulation process using the example of sending an email. We're going to start at the top with layer 7, which is called the application layer. Application layer does about the same thing that it would do in the TCP/IP stack. This layer is responsible for providing network access to applications like your email client. Next, your data is going to travel down to layer 6, which is the presentation layer. This layer reformats data so that it can travel on the network and can be translated back into an email, a message viewable by the application layer on the other side. Next, data travels to layer 5, the session layer, which manages connections needed to send the data between computers. This opens the session, keeps it open, and terminates it when the data has been sent. So basically, what is going to happen is it's going to say, hey, I'm going to have an email that's going to need to be sent. Can you open the network for me? Because I'm going to start sending you packets. Up to this point, we have referred to what is being sent as data. When it flows to layer 4, the transport layer, the data is broken down into manageable pieces called Transport Layer Protocol Data Units, or PDUs. For orderly transport across the network. Port numbers, sequence numbers, and acknowledgement numbers are also added here to ensure reliable data transport. As you might have already guessed, the transport layer is responsible for providing reliable data transport and flow control. It's going to do the same thing as your transport layer on your TCP/IP layer. Next, the PDUs flow down to layer 3, the network layer. This layer deals with logical addressing such as IP addresses and is the layer at which routers work, because routers work on transferring things from network to network and use IP addresses. Remember that the network layer deals with sending things between networks, so routers work at it, and it uses IP addresses. Here, the logical address information and various other layer 3 control information is added, making the segment into packets. So from the transport layer, it's a PDU. When it goes to layer 3, it becomes a packet. These packets now flow down to layer 2, the data link layer. This layer provides physical addressing and media access procedures. Switchers work at this layer of the OSI reference model. Physical address and error correction information is added to turn the packets into frames. So now you're dealing with MAC addresses at the data link layer, and your switches work at the data link layer. Finally, the data finishes at layer 1, physical layer, which is responsible for all physical media and connections. Hang on just a second. Yes? Alright, I was afraid it was going to be someone from the association about the internet over there, so I had to answer it, and it wasn't, so they're getting called back. Alright. So we have the 7 layers of the OSI reference model there for you guys. And the physical layer deals with the physical, the cables, the hubs, which are physical devices that send things out. And the physical layer encodes everything to ones and zeros, bits to go across the physical cables to go to your friend's computer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Any questions?
Oh, you did want I just to be able to put that?
What?
Oh, I'll get it back. I had this page and almost closed.
Oh, okay. You want to be able to put these layers in order. Now, Sean has got some lovely mnemonics for you guys, and he'll paste the link in for the really, really. They've got some good ones and they've got some dirty ones. So if you're easily offended, just. Don't open this page, because it's got some really, really foul things on it.
If I can get back.
But there's
no, it's wholesome family entertainment.
No,
read
no.
it to your children.
Well, some of it is, but some of it just isn't. But you will always remember the OSI reference model.
Oh, okay, hang on just a
second. And the OSI reference model, did that clear anything up about how network traffic flows and works for anybody? I found it really difficult to understand when I first learned it, but honestly, after about the third or fourth time, I was like, oh, actually, that makes tons of sense. Oh, I see why they teach this. But the first few times I encountered it, I was like, why would anybody even want to use this stuff? It's garbage, and it doesn't make anything clear. It's just confusing.
Now, should we try and separate them into all of the bottom-up and all of the top-down ones first? Should we do it that way when I read these?
You can if you want. Yeah.
Okay. There are a lot more for bottom up than top down because bottom up is harder to remember. So we'll do. No, we'll do the top down ones first. The mnemonic traditionally suggested by IT trainers is all people need data processing. Fortunately, the IT world is populated by people with a bit more imagination, and consequently, there are many mnemonics here.
There's about 20.
That are much more entertaining. Let's see. American presidents should try new dating practices. All penguins stand too near deep pools. A pathetic, silly trick never does please. Let's see. All
filter,
people studying
filter.
This need drastic psychotherapy. Yeah, filter. Australian Post sucks. They never deliver parcels. Okay, so those are all of the top-down ones I feel comfortable reading. Let's go back.
Now visit the website to read the other 2,000
well, hang on, here's
that I couldn't read.
Well, there's about 30 or 40. There's, how many does Joel say?
Really?
There's 23 of these. There's 23
okay,
of these.
What,
so,
do you have the bottom-up ones that are good?
Yes. I'll give the cleanest ones of those. Please do not take salespeople's advice. Phyllis did networking till she passed away. Let's see. People don't need this stuff presented anyway. Programmers do not throw sausage pizza away. That's the one Carrie seems to like. Let's see. People don't need to study protocol analysis. Please do not touch Steve's pet alligator. Let's see. People design networks to send packets accurately. Please don't network these stupid people again.
I like that.
Yeah. So I haven't read them all. Let me paste the URL here for you.
Yeah.
Even the very first one is gonna. If even the very first one is like, oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, user beware. But they're hilarious, and you will not forget it again.
Oh no. Did it go?
Milik.
What?
Sometimes it doesn't say it.
But it,
yes, it went. Okay, so if anyone wants that link, it's in the chat.
It's actually an easy enough
pleasure.
One. I can get it on the. I can say it on the recording. It's osi7layer.com. No, osi7layer.com.
Good stuff there. All right, so we've encapsulated. Any questions, guys? Before I go on and talk about the encapsulation. Okay, now Sean's still reading these things and just being absolutely disgusted.
No, someone's just made my jaws sing, so I'm just kind of chuckling about it. I'm behind, like I said.
Alright. Sean, stop reading Twitter. No. Alright. The information travels up... I don't care. You've heard this lecture about 8 times, so... Alright. The OSI reference model...
Oh lord, it's still stuck in monotone. I need to move on to the next one. Oh, there it goes.
Alright, so we've encapsulated it. When it gets to your friend's computer, we're going to go through the de-encapsulation process. The information is going to travel up the OSI reference model, and it's going to become de-encapsulated. Bits become frames, frames become packets, packets become PDUs, which turn into data. The session is terminated, the data is formatted for the application layer, and then presented to the application layer, and your friend sees the email. Does that make sense? Okay. Are we good on... these reference models. They're only theoretical, and they're basically there to help people understand how network traffic works. The TCP/IP network layer network model only applies to TCP/IP suite of protocols. The OSI reference model helps vendors make hardware and software that is able to work together. All right, now we're going to talk, are we all done with this? Are we good? Can we move on to talking about how to configure NICs? What?
Just this overwhelming silence.
Yeah, okay.
No energy.
No, no. Wake up, guys.
I know, I'm ready.
Right. Okay, good. Hopefully everybody else is too.
And of course I speak for everyone.
Well, no one else is speaking. That's okay. Now we'll talk about configuring an NIC. Manufacturers update drivers for devices all the time to add features, fix bugs, and make them compatible with newer operating systems. When installing drivers, disable antivirus software, close as many application programs as possible, and only update drivers one at a time. Because if something breaks, and you have updated a couple drivers, you're not going to know which one broke it. The best place to download new drivers for any device is the manufacturer website. That is a test question on more than one test. If you see a question asking about drivers and manufacturer website is a choice, tick it. You will probably be right. Most drivers you get now are self-installing. You unzip them, click on the setup.exe, and away you go. If not, you can update the driver in the Device Manager. To do this, you're going to download the driver, put it somewhere like C temp, so that would be C:\temp. Now, go to the Device Manager, find the device that you want to update, press Alt-Enter for its properties, Control-Tab to drivers, press Update, and point it to your driver. Some drivers will require a reboot. If the driver does not work as expected, you can roll it back by pressing the rollback button in the drivers tab of the adapter. Can anyone tell me where you can see the properties of an NIC and XP?
Device Manager?
You can, and all of them. You can also go into Network, I believe, under Control Panel, and it'll show it to you. Under XP, you can see this information in the Network and Sharing Center under, I believe, Manage Network Devices or Change Adapter Settings. Let me see which. Because this Sharing Center... Yeah, it's Change Adapter Settings. They've changed it 3 different times in Vista and 7 and XP, so that's correct. Now that the NIC is configured, all you have to do is plug in your RJ45 cable if it's a wired NIC. Just plug it in and plug the device into the wall or router. If you have light perception, then you want to see if there are any activity LEDs on your NIC and if they're blinking. If there's no activity, this may indicate a faulty cable or faulty hub port or even a faulty NIC. If this is the case, it's time to troubleshoot. Most networks are set up so the computer receives an IP address automatically from a local DHCP server. If the computer does not have an IP address, you must enter a unique IP address in the TCP/IP properties of the NIC. Most of them will, unless you have some very funky setup, and if you do, you'll know about it because you did it. So you'll know what you have to do. Every NIC must be configured with the following information to access the network. Protocols. The same protocols must be implemented between any two computers that communicate on the same network. That is basically going to be done for you now. Most of your computers are going to use TCP/IP. In fact, I can't think of any computers that won't. So you're going to be fine. You're going to use TCP/IP. It's just going to happen automatically. And it's going to be done because TCP/IP is installed in Windows and Mac under every operating system since God knows when. And you're all good. You're going to get an IP address. This is configurable and must be unique to each device. The IP address can be manually configured or automatically assigned by DHCP. Your MAC address. Each device has a unique MAC address. The MAC address is assigned by the manufacturer and cannot be changed. Well, it can if you really try. After the computer is connected to the network, test the connectivity with the ping command. You can also ping your own IP address to make sure that your NIC is working properly. After you've determined that your NIC is working, ping your default gateway or another computer on your network. A default gateway allows a host to communicate outside of your network. This is usually your router's IP address. If you can ping other devices on your own network and your default gateway, you have connectivity and the NIC is working. If any of these pings fail, you need to troubleshoot the network connection, the NIC, and the IP address settings. So there you go. Have to have the same protocols, the same IP address, or not the same IP address, unique IP address, unique MAC address, and default gateway to talk to the internet. Telnet, as well as ping, traceroute, can be used to verify connectivity. Telnet is a protocol that provides remote access to servers and DHCP networking devices. Telnet specifies how to create and terminate a session to a remote computer or device. It also provides the syntax and order of the commands that can be issued during a session. It can be used to make configuration changes to a remote device, such as a router or switch. With the correct permissions, users can start and stop processes and even shut down the remote device. To support Telnet client connections, the connected device runs a service called Telnet, which is not automatically installed on Vista or 7. Most operating systems include a Telnet client. On a Microsoft Windows PC, Telnet can be run from the command prompt. Telnet supports users' authentication, but it does not support transport of encrypted data. All data exchanged during a Telnet session is transported as plain text across the network. The data can be intercepted and easily understood, including your username and password used to authenticate the device. This is why we don't actually use Telnet anymore. And the portion of the Telnet lab in 8.9.2 is not necessary. Once you finish part A, and it starts talking about a Telnet server, you can close the lab because you are not doing that. This is because we don't have a safe Telnet server for you guys to work on because we don't want to expose ourselves to the security risks of Telnet, and I couldn't find an anonymous one. Does anyone actually know of any anonymous Telnet servers that are still out there?
I'm MSNing with someone right now that I might be able to...
Oh, okay. Any questions on how to set up a network card? This isn't hard. Alright, now we're going to talk about what we were talking about last week with Melissa. And we're going to talk about, I believe, connection types. Modems take digital signals from your computer and turn them into analog signals for transport over a phone line. At the other end, the signals are turned back into digital signals that your computer can understand. Modems transmit data very accurately, even though phone lines can be very noisy. In America, we have pretty good phone lines. I don't think I've ever really heard noise on a phone line. When I got to Australia, because of some issues with Telstra and the way things are with our phone companies, phone lines, you can actually hear static and noise and stuff on the phone lines, and it can be very noisy. Yeah. So, they're not kidding. Phone lines over here can be so noisy that in some areas you can't get DSL, or DSL comes very slowly because of the
this
amount of
noise. This person
doesn't
know of any anonymous Unix box type telnets that we can play around on, so.
That's okay. Thank you, anyway.
Thought if anybody would know, he...
When computers use the public telephone system to communicate, it is called dial-up networking, or DUN. Modems communicate with each other using audio tones or signals. This means that modems are able to duplicate the dialing characteristics of a telephone. Has anyone ever picked up the phone while someone's on the internet and heard the noise that the is on their phone line? That is actually that's actually your modem transmitting data. It does it via sound, and you can hear those sounds.
And if you're really goofy, you can actually dial the number and try to get the ISP connect to the modem that you aren't. I did that once. Because I could actually hear the touch tones, and I knew what number it was dialing.
I used to be able to do that. And then you can whistle, apparently. I can't whistle. But if you can whistle, you can get the ISP to send you through the tones and connect to you.
Wow.
Apparently. I can't do it, but...
I might be able to do it.
DUN creates a point-to-point protocol, or PPP, connection between two computers over a phone line. After the line connection has been established, a handshake sequence takes place between the two modems and the computers. The handshaking sequence is a series of short communications that occur between the two systems. This is done to establish readiness of the two modems and computers to engage in data exchange. Modems use AT commands to control them. For more on these, look at your notes. You won't be tested on them, and they are now kind of a geeky novelty. It's really a bit obsolete and not used too much anymore. We're going to talk about the different ways to connect to the internet. Don't just pick a way to do this without researching all options for yourself or your customers. The first service that we're going to talk about is dial-up over plain old telephone service or POTS. This is available in most areas, but you cannot make calls and use your modem at the same time, and it is really slow. The maximum speed of dial-up is 56 kbps, but it never goes that fast. That's going to be the cheapest. You can get it just about anywhere, including the most desolate of country places, but it is slow. It is really cheap, though. So if someone, say, can't afford broadband, dial-up is going to be their option. It's the cheapest, it's the slowest, and it's the most easily gotten. We've got Integrated Services Digital Network, ISDN, carries digital signals over the phone line, providing higher quality voice, video, and data signals. It offers three services: Basic Rate Interface, BRI, Primary Rate Interface, PRI, and Broadband ISDN, BISDN. ISDN uses two different types of communication channels. The B channel carries the information which might be data, voice, or video. The D channel is usually used for controlling and signaling, but can be used for data. Digital Subscriber Line, or DSL, is an always-on technology. What does this mean? Can anyone tell me what always-on technology is?
The connection is always active.
Yep, you don't have to dial in. The last two, you have to dial in and connect when you want it. This is on demand. It's always with you whenever you want to use it. It is able to share the phone line by limiting the bandwidth of your voice calls. This means you can make calls while still using the internet. There are two major considerations when selecting DSL. DSL has distance limitations. The phone line used with DSL were designed to carry analog information. Therefore, the length that the digital signal can be sent is limited and cannot pass through any form of multiplexer used with analog phone lines. The other consideration is that the voice information and the data carried by DSL must be separated at the customer site. A device called a splitter separates the connection to the phones and the connection to the local network devices. Asymmetric DSL, digital subscriber line, or ADSL, is currently the most popular DSL technology. ADSL has a different bandwidth capability in each direction. ADSL has fast download speed, typically 1.5 Mbps, downstream is actually the process of transferring data from the server to you. So that's going to be download. It's going to be when you're grabbing a file, pulling down a website, or watching a video. This is beneficial to users who are downloading large amounts of data. The high-speed upload rate of DSL is slower. ADSL does not perform as well when hosting a web server or FTP server, both of which involve upload-intensive internet activities. At home, we have ADSL. At work, we have SDSL, symmetric DSL. So we have 2 megs down and 2 megs up, so that our downloads and uploads are just as fast. Because we have the QCAT website. This is about the last time I can say this to you guys, because we are now going to some kind of weird fiber thing as we speak today, and that's why I'm lecturing from home. Have a look at the diagram to learn more about ISDN and DSL. A lot of the answers to the broadband questions are in the two diagrams here. So have a look, and you've got, 10 questions on different DSL. Every single answer for this is in your text. You can just do it, and a lot of you have just already done it, and it's already been taken care of. PLC stands for Power Line Communication. This type of network uses power lines to transmit data. It is faster than dial-up, and you can buy equipment to make this happen in your house. This was supposed to take off, and really didn't. Hold on, someone's at my door. I'll be right back.
Here's Ah. Any questions while Grace is, I imagine she's probably clamoring for a packet.
I'm sorry, I'm back. Our cleaner's here. Alright, so... Oh, I think our internet's back. That really is the last time I can say that to you guys, because we now don't have that connection anymore.
You made history.
Yeah, I have. Is it all done?
No.
No? Did you have your meeting about it?
No. I'm just filling in time. It's okay. Continue on. Pretend I'm not here.
Okay. I was wrong. I was just telling them about our symmetrical ADSL connection, saying, well, I'm not going to be able to say this to you guys anymore and use it as an example, because we're getting rid of it.
That's exactly right. We're going fiber. We did used to have a 2-megabit symmetric... No, not yay, because we've now got upload limits. So don't yay about fiber.
Okay.
We don't know what kind of upload limits yet, but we'll figure that out. All right. Broadband is a technique used to transmit and receive multiple signals using multiple frequencies over one cable. Cable internet is an example of this. Broadband technologies include ISDN, DSL, cable, and satellite. And we're all pretty familiar with cable. It is the same cable that is used to bring in your TV service, and you can get internet on it. It can be really, really fast, but you share the connection with all of your neighbors. So if you're the first person on the street, cable's going to be really fast until all of your neighbors get on that really good cable deal, and it so isn't. Bluetooth is a technology specified by 802.15.1 standard. 7 Bluetooth devices can be connected to a PC at one time. This is known as a wireless personal area network, or WPAN. I love my Bluetooth.
Getting 7 devices connected to one PC just sounds totally impossible.
Close. My wireless personal area network consists of my iPod, Bluetooth keyboard, GPS receiver, a Bluetooth headset, the modem.
Wow. Braille sense sometimes.
Yeah, Braille sense sometimes. So all sorts of different...
So we're at five already.
Yeah, all sorts of different combinations of little devices that connect and interconnect with each other. And that the seven of them don't all have to be connected to one device at all, because usually they won't be. But it's still pretty cool.
No, that's seven Bluetooth? Per device, actually.
Yeah, it is seven per device. But a lot of mine are mixed together between different devices. Bluetooth devices are divided into three classifications. Class 1 has a range of approximately 100 meters or 300 feet. Class 2 has a range of approximately 10 meters or 33 feet. Class 3 has a range of approximately 1 meter or 3 feet. Bluetooth devices operate in the 2.4 to 2.485 GHz radio frequency range, which is in the industrial, scientific, and medical ISM band. The Bluetooth standard incorporates adaptive frequency hopping, AFH, which allows signals to hop around using different frequencies within the Bluetooth range to reduce the chance of interference when multiple Bluetooth devices are present, which is pretty cool. So they're going to, you know how your portable phone changes frequencies? Some of them can auto-change frequencies. These devices can too. Cellular modems make it possible to access the internet over the cellular network. Well, yes. We went over this in Module 6, so to refer to that module if you have any issues with that. Basically, what it does is you can have like a netbook with a little slot for a SIM card to go into, and you can access mobile data. You can also use a USB dongle to plug into the side of your computer, and that will give you cellular data. Sean's also got a device. It's a cellular modem that is a big device, and it can be a wireless personal hotspot with cellular data that he can use and connect a bunch of computers to and use it while he's traveling.
What powers it, I meant to ask?
It's got a battery in, and I think they say it only works for about 4 hours or something, and I don't know. But the cool thing is, on the page that you get when you log in, it actually has... You have to set JAWS to look at the graphics by title, but it actually has, like, graphic battery /3. So it goes from 4 to 1, so I have a little bit of an idea. It also tells me whether I'm roaming or not and stuff.
Does it charge off USB or a brick?
It charges off of a USB, micro USB, that B. They also give you a brick that has nice folding prongs. Only thing is, when you plug it in, it doesn't show up as a hotspot when you plug it into the computer. I think there are some drivers I can install, though. I just haven't played with it yet.
Fair enough.
It's a Novatel wireless thingy.
Those things are expensive.
And the last three characters of the SSID happen to also be the last three of the MAC address, which is really strange. That's probably
done by default.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay. DSL carries voice and data signals on different frequencies over the telephone network. Remember, you need a filter for all phones in the house, or else the phone rings will kick you offline. We had a friend who used to come on Ventrilo with us, and every time the phone rang, she'd get kicked offline. Sorry, my cousin called. Sorry, my mom's friend got called.
Because they thought that they could be cheap and actually just have a filter out at the phone box.
No,
this didn't work.
A faulty filter, it turned out. It turned out to be a faulty filter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I was involved.
That's why when you get a DSL modem, they give you like 3 or 4 filters so that you can go put filters on your phones. We only have one filter because our phone system is 4 units in 1. So we just use one phone.
Technically, the best way to filter is with a central splitter filter, but it is more expensive, which is why people don't do it. It is more effective to have it wired in professionally and have phone and ADSL split out separately, but everybody's tight, so not many people do that.
Whoa, hold on, let me restart my recording.
Good old TPGIP protocol. Our internet service provider is TPGI, Total Peripherals Group International, so when it goes dodgy, we call it TPGIP instead of TCPIP.
It's just decided to drop its bundle. Nothing else dropped, though.
Probably wasn't out long enough for anything else to drop.
Yeah. There are all sorts of good ones you can use. Where was I? Yeah.
I think that's still around.
You're really lucky, Melissa, that they gave you extra filters, because a lot of them were very tight, and they won't give you extra filters.
Yeah, well, this modem was a 2005 modem.
They will give you extra filters, Grace, if you go on a contract. So if you sign up with an ISP and go on a contract, they will give you extra filters, but if they install it. But if you do a self-install, then the filters are your responsibility.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it was a self-install, but we did have... We do have phone service from Verizon, so it is...
So they want to keep you happy.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did.
Over here, it's very difficult to get them for free. You get to go pay $20 for a filter. The DSL modem does not need a filter, because it is not affected by the telephone. It only... it is... It affects the telephone, the telephone affects it, but it does not need a filter because it doesn't. The telephones do. The telephone affects it. Satellite is mainly used.
If you filter your ADSL modem, I was just going to clarify this. If you filter your ADSL modem, you'll actually take out the ADSL. So if you put a filter on the other side of your ADSL modem, you filtered out the ADSL before it got to your modem. It doesn't work when you do
awesome.
That.
Satellite is mainly used in rural areas where other high-speed connections aren't available. It is expensive and can have high latency because it takes time for signals to travel up to the satellite and back. No phone line or cable is required for satellite internet. Download speeds are about 500 kbps while uploads are at about 56 kbps. Fiber is a new, very fast form of internet, which often is provided by phone companies. In the US, Fios and Uverse are examples of fiber internet. Fiber delivers video, voice, and data, and can carry millions of different signals on a single pair of fibers. In contrast, a copper wire can only carry 6 phone calls. So, this is pretty good. VoIP. Does anybody need me to explain to them what VoIP is? Because I can.
Nope.
But.
We're doing VoIP
right
we're now.
We're VoIP now. You can also have VoIP phone
we're
lines.
Not. No, this is not voice over IP, technically speaking.
Oh, it is, but it isn't. VoIP is Skype. VoIP is making phone calls over the internet, one thing is about VoIP lines, that if your internet is down, you cannot make calls. This is why we have kind of strayed away from getting a VoIP phone line as our main line, because if that internet's down and there's a bad storm, you can't get help if you would ever need it. A virtual private network, or VPN, is a private network that uses a public network, like the internet, to connect remote sites or users together. I liked Carrie's description of the VoIP. So, you have a secret letter that you want to get to your partner. And you're going to see the mother-in-law, but you don't want the mother-in-law to read it. So, you put it in an envelope with a wax seal, and you put it in Braille, because she can't read Braille. And you say, hey, I've got this message I want delivered. The mother, who is your medium, only knows that the information is going from you to your partner, and doesn't know what it is. So she is just going to carry it, and it is in a secure tunnel, and it's just going to be a... given to your partner. Any questions on VoIP? Or not VoIP. Go ahead.
Oh, never mind. We have VoIP phones at work, and I hate them.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
It when they're correctly set up, they're good.
It was a cordless one, and I just about threw it. It was making me so angry.
When they're set up correctly, and people aren't trying to save money on really tight codecs like G729, they are actually indistinguishable from regular phones. But, you know, obviously they didn't, and you are paying the price for it.
And we're also trying to use a dual headset with it, which is also makes it worse.
I hate dual headsets.
So basically you have to have a VPN client on your computer to log into the VPN. You log in and it acts like you're physically on that network and transfers everything through a secure tunnel. There's a really good diagram here that explains how it works. And that's our module. Any questions?
Whoa.
What, it only took us three times? We're going to do our quiz.
Well,
and we have actually...
Oh, yeah.
We have activities to do this this week. So, yeah, any questions about this module or anything in it? That's okay.
I may reread the notes before taking the exam.
Yeah, you could put us on the Victor stream, speed us up to about four times, and listen to it again if you want. And we'll sound funny that way. We might sound more entertaining that way. I don't know.
Absolutely. The first time I did networking... I was really, really confused and, you know, not very good at it at all. I am not a networking person. In fact, I tried to teach this chapter once, failed horribly, didn't teach it for a couple of semesters. I think I had someone else do it. And then I taught it and understood it. So, you know what, if you're feeling like you don't understand this stuff, don't feel too bad, because you don't have to get it the first time. I have a teacher that says, it takes you three times of learning something to actually understand it.
The interesting thing is also that if networking is more complicated than just plugging the cables in, and I really wish people would learn this before they set up their home network. Then again, I'm glad they don't, because it puts money in our tech's pockets.
Absolutely. You can make so much money being a network technician. Right. I am getting up.
Yeah, speaking of being sped up 50 times on a Victor Reader stream, one night I was listening to one of the modules, and I was imagining Sean speaking through a vocoder introducing the module. I was like, that would sound interesting.
Well, if you slow me all the way down on this stream, it will sound like that.
Weird. Well, I was listening to a demonstration on a vocoder, and then I started studying and listening to a module.
That's why.
I was like, wouldn't that be interesting if Sean was introducing welcome to module, da da da, and I was just,
that
it was
would
funny.
Be weird. I don't think I'll be doing that. I'm sorry.
Cavi sings the news.
Oh, no, there's no reason.
Cavi soon.
Oh, help us!
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to... Oh my gosh.
Play with a quiz?
We're going to play with a worksheet, actually, first, I think, because...
What's that noise?
That is Sue's phone.
Ah, okay.
Oh, what is it? Okay. It's her crazy iPhone.
She caved and got an iPhone.
Okay. No, Andrew gave it to her.
Yes, I remember the story. Okay, I'm out. I'm going to go get some food before these guys come in. I've got the router pre-configured, so the cut across should be pretty...
okay.
Easy.
Cool. Alright. So, because you're here, guys, you guys don't have to do... this lab in Module 8, the very last one, because we're going to talk about it.
So you don't want us to send it in or anything?
8.12. No, you're not going to send it in, because it's just so much easier to do it this way. Everybody else who isn't here, hey, look at the accessibility document. It tells you how to do this lab. Alright, so... I'm going to, this is an insurance company that's calling you up, and they have a problem with their network. And customer is not able to connect to the network. The customer is not able to send or receive email. And his operating system is Windows XP. Customer is able to access the network yesterday. All cables are securely connected. Link lights are not flashing. Customer does not have an IP address. Status of NIC is disabled. Alright. I'm not able to connect to the network. I can log onto Windows, but I cannot get to any of my folders on my networks. Everything was fine yesterday because Johnny was using my computer when I was homesick, but now it does not work. In fact, my email does not work either. I tried to send an email, but it doesn't go anywhere. It just sits in my outbox. My friend said she sent me some email this morning, but I do not have it. What am I going to do? I have to get started on my work. My boss is going to be very upset. Can you help me get into the network? So what questions would you ask him? Anyone have any questions you'd ask this person to solve the problem?
What did Johnny do when he was on the computer?
All right. Let's rephrase that question.
Yeah, that's
a bit too direct.
It's a fair question.
It's the right idea.
It's a great question. But how do we ask that question differently?
Make it more politically correct.
And Ali's telling you this. That's something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying that because that's what they want.
Any changes made on the computer? Absolutely.
You don't want to direct the question towards them personally.
Yeah, or Johnny. You don't.
Yeah, you don't
want to
say. How did your stupid brother mess this up?
We had a very funny role play the very first term that I was. That was fun.
I don't know.
I need to listen to some of these role plays.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Yeah. Some of the module 10s are great. Usually part two.
Part two. We call it role play. Okay. I don't know. I'm going to ask Johnny. Did you change anything on the computer? Well, I got... the internet was going slow at the end of the day. So, I was looking around in the network connections like my nephew at home does when the internet goes slow. Well, that's what he says. So,
oh dear.
What might you have him check?
The status of the connection, whether the connection might be disabled.
Oh, looky there.
Network connections.
Oh, Melissa, looky there. It looks like Johnny did disable the network and then just decided to go and leave for a beer after he'd done that because the internet just wasn't working. Ow. There we go. You fixed it. Some of these are basically internet technician sheets, and they basically tell you, or basically having you fill out a sheet of paper to learn how to fill out a customer sheet. We don't do that. We actually try and solve the problem instead, because that is much better practice for you guys.
However, there is going to be a chapter where we may not actually lecture on 13, so just...
Yep, we are lecturing. You know,
write down
lecturing.
The kind of... Oh, he is. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Aiden had a story in Discovery, because he did the Discovery 9 lecture, which was really good. And he said, the first call I took... I was reading the sheet, and it said describe the issue of the customer. So he called. So he picked up the phone, and he said, "What's your issue?" And his quality coach corrected him right away.
Yeah.
Just you know, as he does, you know. Thank you for calling Clever. What's your issue?
What about how may I assist you?
Sometimes I wish they would answer that way, though. I mean...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, just refreshing. Like, I'm already calling because I have a problem. So just ask me... I mean, do you have to be nice? Like, syrupy sweet about... Like, all
Yeah, they try to be sweet about it, and then they take all their money from you.
Oh, no, this is just, like, AOL support. It was nothing...
Oh.
quiz up for you guys. I know you want a quiz. I know you do. WWCUCAT. Any other questions that anyone can think of while I'm loading up our quiz? Coming up in lovely grade 1 Braille. Gosh, there we go. It's all coming up. I don't know. That's a really good question. I'll ask Carrie if he has any idea, because I've never even thought of that.
Yeah, I've often wondered that myself. Like, how is this assigned to port 80, or this assigned to da-da-da?
I am, like, the most uninquisitive person ever. I've just absolutely never thought of it.
I'm sorry, what
well,
was
the...
Where do the port numbers come from?
Well, I can't assign some.
Huh? Well, yes, but why? Why are certain port numbers assigned to certain ports? Why is 80 80?
Why is 21?
That's a good question.
For FTPs, what's so special about it?
That's a good question.
It's almost right up there with how do hurricanes get their names.
Yeah, it kind of is that kind of... I feel like a horribly uncreative, uninquisitive person, because I just never even thought of port 80's web. That's what it is, and that's all it is, and that's, you know... Oh, that's a really good question! That is a really good question. 6, 7, 8. Well, I will have to,
Kind of reminds me of the time when I broke my foot. The doctor diagnosed me with a Jones fracture. I was like, well, what's a Jones fracture? And she says, I don't know why it's called that. It's just this is the bone you fractured. And the person who fractured it called it a Jones. And I was like, why that particular bone?
Well, I don't know. So... It's just a thing that happened. And that's what we call it.
Maybe.
I wanted to know. Yeah, I... jokingly told her, I said, give me a bone in the give me a bone that has not been named and I'll fracture it and I'll call it the Melissa fracture.
Yeah.
You already got your own virus.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, that's right. I heard about the Melissa virus. What exactly does that do again?
Hold on. I'm going to see what she said.
Oops.
Or he said. That's okay. It's rereadable.
Yeah. Microsoft Anna comes in like really, really soft on here.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Alright, guys. I'm just finding my quiz. Quiz 8, here we go. Alright, let's have a quiz. Alright. 1. The internet is an example of which type of network? A. LAN. B. SAN. D. WAN. C. WAN. D. WLAN. Choose now. Everybody who said C is absolutely right. It is a WAN, which stands for Wide Area Network. 2. Which method of data transfer allows information to be sent and received at the same time? Is it A. Full duplex, B. Half duplex, C. Multiplex, D. Simplex? Choose now. Virtual lollipops all around, full duplex is correct. 3. Which dotted decimal number is used to distinguish the network portion of an IP address from the host portion? A. Default gateway. B. MAC address. C. Physical address. D. Subnet mask. Choose now. Ah! You guys rock! Absolutely, it is a subnet. Alright. Which cable type is a common choice for use on Ethernet networks? A. Thick coax. B. Thin coax. C. STP. D. UDP. Choose now. It is D. UTP. 5. Which networking protocol translates a network name, such as www.cisco.com, to a unique IP address? A. APIPA. B. ARP. C. DHCP. D. DNS. E. Proxy ARP. Choose now. Okay. It's DNS. DHCP gives you an IP address you can get on the net. DNS, domain name service, actually looks up names and translates between names and IP addresses. That's okay. A technician wishes to update the NIC driver for a computer. Which is the best location for finding new drivers for the NIC? A. Installation media that came with the NIC. B. Windows Update. C. The website for the manufacturer of the NIC. D. Installation media for Windows. E. Website of Microsoft. C is absolutely right. Why not A?
Because the media that came with the NIC could be old.
Yeah, and usually is. You don't know how long that thing's been sitting on the store shelf. And if you've had it for a while and are reinstalling it, it's probably out of date. A student is helping a friend with a home computer that no longer accesses the internet. Upon investigation, the student discovers that the computer has been assigned the IP address 169.254.100.88. What could cause a computer to get such an IP address? A. Bad network cable. B. Interference from surrounding devices. C. Reduced power supply output. B. Static IP addressing with incomplete information. Choose now. D is absolutely wrong. It would just attempt to use that bad information. You would not get in a PIPA. The bad networking cable is the reason you might get a bad, have an issue. Okay. In what two instances would a workgroup network be suitable? Choose two. A. Home network. Yes or no? That is a yes. B. University library. No. D. City government office. No. A five-person office. Yes, yes. That's absolutely correct. Cisco Desktop Support Department is the last one, and, well, no. I'll just give you that one for free. What firewall port number or numbers combined must be open in order to to exchange data using a web browser? A. 20/21. B. 22. C. 23. D. 24, E, 80. E is absolutely correct. It's going to be 80. All right. So we have pictures displaying excerpts from an MS-DOS console as follows. C:\Documents and Settings\Student>IP config/all, output omitted. Ethernet adapter, local area connection, connection specific DNS, suffix launch modem.com, description, Broadcom network net extreme 57XX gigabit controller, physical address, MAC address, DHCP enabled, yes, auto configuration enabled, yes. IP address 192.168.1.94. Subnet mask 255.255.255.0. Default gateway 192.168.1.254. DNS server 192.133.219.43. Refer to the exhibit. What can be determined about the IP address configuration based on the information that is shown? I'll read you what I think should probably be all this is fine. Let's see if we can figure it out. A. DNS is being used. B. A PIPA is being used. C. Class B addressing is being used. D. Static IP addresses are being used. Choose now. A. DNS is being used. They give you all that information so you could come to that tiny conclusion. Hello.
Hello.
So, how to know? Because DNS, because it had DNS servers plugged into that area, so DNS was being used. Honestly, it's a ton of information that you have to sort through and pick out the one relevant bit. And I was going to go back and read over the relevant bit, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, so I didn't. So you just read it over, read the question. If you need to, you read it over again and look at the question again. And then you read it over again, and you will probably figure out what you need to figure out. But it's a lot of sorting. Which process is normally performed from a command prompt on a computer? A. Assigning an IP address. B. Designating the DNS address. C. Pinging a remote network device. D. Configuring the computer for DHCP. Choose now. It is definitely C. You're going to ping from that. Which two types of data communications suffer a reduction in quality if network latency is too high? Choose two. A. Email? No. Video? Absolutely. Printing? Web browsing? No, not really. It's not going to suffer. It's just going to take a little bit. Voice? Yes. All right. Workers are required to access the company LAN when traveling. Which networking technology can provide secure and encrypted access to the LAN? A. ADSL. B. ISDN. C. VPN. D. WAN. Choose now. He is absolutely right. For which communication technologies does Global Packet Radio Service, GPRS, provide a data service? A. VoIP. B. GSM. C. Bluetooth. D. 802.11glan. Choose now. That is the bonus question of the day. The person who said B was absolutely right. It's basically a question about different cell phone. Okay. For which communication technology does Global Packet Radio Service, GPRS, provide a data service? And the answer is B, GSM. We talked about that in 6. It's all good. You don't have to... I don't think you ever get tested on anything like that. But, yeah. Which broadband technology would be recommended for a customer who requires short range, less than 30 feet, 10 meters, wireless data communications? A. ADSL. B. ISDN. C. GPRS. D. Bluetooth. D is absolutely right. Good job. All right, everybody, congratulations. You survived Module 8. I want all labs from Module 8, except that last one, done. And that's basically it. Any questions before we stop the recording?